I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. I'm going to share with you two stories, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. It's not a full-fledged teaching, but I have got a lot of things that I want to bring across to you this morning regarding the Word of God. I want to talk to you primarily about praise. We need to really understand the times and the seasons that we're living in, and the times and the seasons now in October, it's a time where witches gather, where different things happen, especially leading up to All Hallows Eve and beyond, you know, 31st of October and 1st of November, are key dates for certain organizations. We've done teachings like this in the past, almost every time of this year we do that, but this year I'm approaching things a little bit different. I'm not going to talk about what we already know. We know a lot about, you know, All Hallows Eve, how it began, and all that kind of stuff. We talked about that in the past, and I've given the history of it. But what I want to address today is the very fact that despite what's going on out there, despite what, you know, organizations and all people that organize themselves during this time to represent what really is evil, there is the church has power, and God has given the church authority and power. And during this time, with whatever is going on, don't concern yourself about that too much, but concern yourself about what God has given you. And in this season, in this time, we ought to be raising the praise. Come on, say with me, raise the praise. And we've got to do that. Now, stuff will come against you. Stuff will just happen. I'll be honest with you, there's been a barrage of stuff that all seems to be happening with me personally, you know, in different aspects of my life, if you like. But some of it I recognize now as the authority of the enemy, and we come against that in Jesus' name. And one of the keys that God has given us that we should be operating in with full understanding is praise. And so I want to exhort a little bit about that today and talk to you and remind you that praise gives or brings the victory. Can I get an amen? Praise brings the victory. Before I even go to the scriptures, because I'm going to give you a lot of word today, but before I go to the scriptures, what I want to remind you is that praise does bring the victory, but it matters how we praise God. It matters where your praise is coming from. Okay, it's not to do with what's coming from your mouth per se, even though praise comes out of your mouth. But God is more concerned with where it's coming from. So if it's coming from a heart, which it must be if it's going to be accepted by God, then I've got to understand that my heart has to be right. Because that's the only time it will be accepted from God, if I have a clean heart. Okay? If I have a heart that's wrong, praise won't be accepted from God. So we're starting on that premise that our heart must be good, must be clean. So let me share with you some scriptures. Then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, and then I'm going to take you to the New Testament. Two stories I'm going to share with you briefly with this. All right, so Psalm 47, verse 6 and 7, it says this: sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to King, our King, sing praises. Why? For God is the King over all the earth. Sing praises to Him with understanding. Now, there's a lot I could say about that. One of the teachings I've given several times in this church is seven different Hebrew words that break down, or seven different praise words and their meanings. I'm not doing that today, but today we just want to highlight some keys, okay? And one of the keys here is sing praises to Him with what? Understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is knowing how information and events relate. That's what understanding is. Understanding is comprehension. Okay? So you're not just reading a book, but you are understanding what you are reading. Okay? The events are being correlated with the information given, and that gives you understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all of your getting, get understanding. So it's very important for us to have understanding. When we read God's word, we're talking about praise today. Well, you need to know why we need to praise him. Well, you should already know that. Again, we've done this in the past, and several teachings in the past. But I'm going to just run through some things regarding praise before I go into 2 Chronicles 20. Let's define it. Let's understand what praise is. Okay? So praise means to applaud, to commend, to express approval of, to extol, and to magnify. These are just simple words, simple definitions of praise. To applaud, when you're praising God, or when you applaud someone, you're praising them. Okay? To commend, in your praises, what you are doing with your words is commending God. And by the way, praise is released through the medium of words. So if you're going to praise God, you have to open your mouth. Okay? And words have to be released, whether it's in the form of song or declarations. To express approval of, to extol, and to magnify. And that's what we do when we praise God in our worship. We're extolling him, and we're magnifying him. But let me move on, because I've got a lot to say today. A force is something that causes change. So if we say that praise is a force is something that causes change. So when you praise God, please understand, okay? Do things with understanding. Understand that your praise that released from your heart through your mouth, it is actually a force that causes a change in the atmosphere. All right? So you've got to, if you have understanding of this, then you can't keep quiet. You can't just sort of mumble when you're supposed to be praising. And we'll see in a moment that there were times when people praised God loudly, several times in the scriptures, unapologetically. Nothing to be embarrassed about. And it is a time when we need to praise God with everything, the psalmist says, within me, praise the Lord. And that's what is demanded of us at times. And what happens is that praise now is a spiritual force that changes, first of all, the atmospheres. Number two, it causes demons to flee. Right? Number three, it uplifts you. And number four, it uplifts others. And number five, it draws the presence of God. And that's what we want. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Alright. So it's a force, and a force that cannot be reckoned with from the demonic side of things. Praise is preoccupied with who God is and what he has done. Okay? Praise is preoccupied with who God is and what he has done. So when we're saying, Lord, I praise you, we're understanding who he is. Lord, I praise you, we're understanding what he has done. Whether it's been manifested yet or not, he's done it. Do you know that your blessing has already been provided? Church, do you know that? Let me say it again. Do you know that your blessing is already being provided for by God? Do you know that your healing is already being provided for by God? And it doesn't sound like you do. Do you know that your healing has already been provided for by God? All right? If you know it, then you come to him in praise on that understanding that, Lord, I praise you because of what you have done, even though it's not manifested yet. This is where faith comes in. But if you don't know it, then it's just mere words coming out of your mouth. It's meaning nothing. It's accomplishing nothing. There's no power there. It's just the motions we're going through with no understanding. And God doesn't want that. And remember now, God looks past the outside and he looks straight into your heart. And he sees where everything is coming from. Praise is a function of the will, not the emotions. Well, I don't feel like it. This place is cold. So what? What does it have to do with praising God? If you know who God is, and if you understand what he has done, and if you understand that you are in his hands and he's got your future in it, then there is nothing that will stop you from praising God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Nothing. But if you don't understand that, then it becomes something else. Praise is a function of me making my mind up and setting my will to uplift Him, to magnify Him, to extol Him. It's a function of your will, not your emotions. So stop talking about, I don't feel like, I don't feel like, I don't feel like. Well, you don't know what I've been through this week. You don't know what I've been through this morning. It doesn't matter what you've been through this week or been through this morning. You grab a hold of faith and grab a hold of this mechanism, this tool, this implement that God has given us in the form of praise, and you use it with understanding. And you praise your God. Look, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So no matter what you are going through, you have the ability to praise God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Whether we do or not will be down to us. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. Okay? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to sort of, I don't want to take too much time with this, so I'm going to sort of do it maybe a little bit differently. 2 Chronicles 20, we see that King Jehoshaphat and Judah, they were surrounded by three different nations that came against them. Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. Three different nations came against this one nation to defeat them and to overpower them. But we see a number of transactions happening in that chapter. And we see, and that's what we're going to take a brief look at this morning and draw out some principles that we can apply to our lives today. But before we go into 2 Chronicles 20, verse chapter 19, we see, you see, the enemy always works. And that's what the enemy was doing. The enemy gathered to destroy Jehoshaphat and Judah. Why? If you look at chapter 19, you will see that Jehoshaphat brought in some reforms. And he brought in some changes, and he set order amongst God's people. Okay? And anytime you organize your life to have order in it, to set a reform, a reformation is a complete change in the way that you do things. That's what a real reformation is. And when you set yourself to do something differently, like you're going to set yourself to praise God differently, and irrespective of what is happening, hopefully this will come out during the teaching and you'll leave with one of those things in your mind to do, then the enemy is going to be stirred up. But don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of what he will do. He will always be active and always be trying to set God's people back. And we know that. That's no new news to us. We know that. And we ought not to fear, because God doesn't want us to fear. But we see that happening now. The enemy stirred up three different nations to come against this one nation to destroy this nation, to fight them and to destroy them. So let's take a brief look. I think I'm going to use this to go through it rather than in the Bible itself. But scriptures are there. Okay? And this is what happened. The Bible says that in verse 3 and 4, they sought the Lord. Three different nations approached them to destroy them. What was their first response? To seek God. Folks, your first response in any given situation should be to seek God. Can I get an amen? Your first situation, go to God in prayer. Seek God. Okay? They sought the Lord. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat prayed in verses 5 to 12. And in verses 5 to 12, if you look at his prayer, what Jehoshaphat prayed and did was he reminded God of what he said. He reminded God of who he was. He reminded God of his promises to his people. And that's why we have the word of God today. And that's what God expects us to do. That's why God said, my word will not return to me void. Because God is having faith in his people that we will take his word and bring it back to him in faith, believing for what he said he would do. So he prayed, and it's beautiful. Just read that chapter when you go home. They all came before the Lord. Okay? And then the prophet Jehaziel rose up and he said, a number of things, but the three main things he said, number one, don't be dismayed. In other words, then don't be intimidated by these three armies that are coming against you. Don't let fear come into your heart. Don't let doubt come in. Don't let the looks of them or the numbers of them terrify you. Alright? Don't be dismayed. And then he said, go down. This is God telling the Jehaziel to do this. Go down, set yourselves, and stand still. And I like this because this is one of those battles, you know. Do you know that God fights battles for you today? Amen. My God, if you could see what's happening in the unseen realm, you would understand a lot more. Some battles you fight, some battles God fights for you without you even knowing about it at times. And this is one of those battles where God was said that, no, you go down, you're not going to do anything, I'm going to do this fighting for you. Go down, set yourself still, okay, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he went on to say in verse 20, believe in God, okay, and you will prosper. Believe and you will prosper. Believe in God and you will prosper. Believe in God and you will prosper. Can you say that with me? Believe in God and you will prosper. Let's make it personal. Believe in God and I will prosper. Say it one more time. Believe in God and I will prosper. What has God spoken into your life recently? Then you want to believe it. And you will prosper. Irrespective of how things may look on the outside. Irrespective of what may be going on around you. Believe in God and you will prosper. And then Jehoshaphat did something that God did not tell him to do. And what did he do? He arranged the praisers. He arranged the singers. And then the Bible says in verse 21 and 22, they praised God. Do you hear that? The enemy set around them. They hadn't won the battle yet. Nothing had happened yet. But they began to praise God before the victory was manifested. Are you hearing me, church? This is why you need faith. Because many of us were waiting until when God does this and I'll do that. No. God is saying, no. Believe in God and you will prosper. And if you believe, then you're going to act upon what I'm saying. Alright? Believe in God and you will prosper. Praise God before you get the manifestation of the victory. If you want the victory to be manifested, praise Him before it manifests. Not just when it manifests, but praise Him before. Church, are you with me today?
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what the Word of God here is saying? We've got to, at times, in the face of the enemy, praise God. We're going to lift our voices, open our mouth and say, Lord, irrespective of what I'm seeing, I bless You. Irrespective of the court case, Lord, against me, I praise You. Irrespective of the sickness in my body, Lord, I give You praise. Because God has given us victory. And we've got to appropriate it with forcefulness and with a stubborn resolute. That's in our spirit. That no matter what, I'm going to give God what is due to Him. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He arranged everything in order. So let me pick up three keys and then I'm going to go to the New Testament. Let's pick up some keys. Number one, Jehoshaphat, I'm going to give you three keys from this story. Okay, this is a lot more, but three. He sought the Lord. What do I mean by that? He prayed. And we're going to see that in the New Testament as well, where praise and prayer work together. Praise and prayer worked here. He sought the Lord. He just didn't get up and do. He didn't use his intellect to say, well, this is what I think. No, he sought God. Lord, what do You think? Never mind what I think, Lord. What do You think? What are You saying, Father? He sought the Lord, verse 3. And the Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord.
Key number two. The people obeyed. The people obeyed. They didn't rebel like the people before Moses. They rebelled against God and rebelled against Moses. But these people here, they obeyed. They heard the words of Jahaziel. They heard what King Jehoshaphat was saying to them. King Jehoshaphat ordered and set, he brought a reformation, set order and made changes, and the people agreed with that, those changes, rather than arguing against it. And they put themselves under the authority of their king, and they obeyed. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all these commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high." You know what that's talking about? God is saying, hey, if you obey me, I'm going to promote you. If you obey me, I'm going to lift you up. You may be in the pit right now. You don't know what to get out of the pit. But if you praise me and if you obey me, do what I'm telling you to do, even though it may look like there's no way, I specialize in making a way out of no way. And I will lift you up. Key number three. So much more I could say on these keys. Number three, they praise God. They praise God. They stood up, the Bible says in verse 19, and praised the Lord God of Israel. How? With voices loud and high. Church, how do they praise God? Voices loud and high. That is with faith. That is with confidence. That is unapologetically. They lifted up their voice and praised God with voices loud and high. And the word praise there is the word halal. And that means then to boast. It means to commend, to shine. It's one of the words that we looked at in the past. To shout, to celebrate. They halaled him. There was nothing quiet about it. Nothing apologetic about it. They didn't just hear and then just mumble it out of their mouth. They praised him with voices loud and high. As a result of praising God, what happened? Well, they had victory in the wilderness. Verses 16 and 24. Their enemies were defeated. Verse 24. Wealth came in. Verse 25. They blessed the Lord. Verse 26. They returned with joy. Verse 27. They went to the house of God. Verse 28. The fear of God was on nations, verse 29. And they had rest, verse 30. All these things happened as a result of that. The detail of it is this. Ammon and Moab looked, and then the people of Mount Seir began to fight one another. You know what the Lord was doing? The Lord was bringing confusion in the camp, in the enemy's camp. And they turned on one another and began to fight one another. Then part of the enemy's camp looked and saw them. What's going on here? Why are they fighting one another? And then before you know it, when they were defeated, Ammon turned against Moab. And they began to fight one another. And so Israel just looked on. It was one of those battles where God said, I'm going to do the fighting for you. God was actually doing it while Israel were just looking on and seeing. But as a result of all that, they had victory. God gave them the victory. Church, you know that God has given you victory? Amen. I wonder if you really know that. God has given you victory. But Pastor David, doesn't look like it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God has given you victory. Shout out with me, church. I am victorious.
I am victorious.
Come on, shout it out. I'm victorious.
I am victorious.
And it's not you saying it. You're saying what God has already said. So you're saying what the Word of God has already said, and that's your state. That's how God sees you. That's how God, or where God wants you. Okay? The children of Israel, the Judah, they had victory. Okay? And the victory came primarily because they decided to do what God's prophet and God's man said that they should do. They lifted up their voice in praise. They didn't wait for God to say, well, praise me and then this will happen. They went ahead and organized themselves and they deliberately praised God. I dare you to praise God in the midst of your adversity, in the midst of your pain. I dare you not to just wait for someone to say praise God, but for you to get up and to lift up your hands and to magnify Him and praise Him. I dare you to do that. And that's how you make the enemy flee. Sometimes the enemy stays around you because you don't do what God says you should do. You're not compliant. And because you're not compliant, you're doing it in your own way. Things happen differently. But God has set the things in motion so that if we begin to do what He says we should do, then we will see a difference in our lives and in our communities and in our families. We see victory on every side because God has appropriated that to you. Can we stand on our feet and just praise Him for a few moments? Come on. You heard me. Stand on your feet. Just lift up your hands, open your voices and just praise Him. Thank Him right now. Thank Him right now. Thank Him for your healing. Thank Him for victory. Thank Him for your family members are saved. Thank Him for health and for strength. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's done before He's done it. Thank Him and bless Him. In the name of Jesus, we bless You, Lord. And we lift You up, Father. And we thank You, Lord God, that You've got us, Lord. You've got our family. You've got our future. My finances, You've got that, Lord God. You are taking full control, Father, of everything in our lives. And Lord, we bless You today. We lift You up and we magnify You for who You are, Lord God. We open our mouths and we release praise, oh God, because unto You it is due. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a clap? Clap. Come on, let's give Him a clap this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated. Let's go to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we're going to see some different things happening here. Different story, different time, different people. Back then it was the whole of Judah along with a king, along with a prophet. Today, not today, but in Acts 16, is two men. Two men. So let me give you a little bit of a background. I don't think I have time to read the story before you. But this is Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in a particular place and they were there for days. And they were there serving God. And then they were being harassed. This little girl that was demonically possessed and controlled by at least one or two men that were with her, okay, and they used the manifestation of the demons in this individual to gain money. And the Bible says that this they did for days, okay? The demons inside that girl was harassing Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas got to a point now where they said, you know what, enough is enough. And then they turned around and they rebuked the demon out of that girl. And the demon it came out and left the girl. And when the men who were controlling the girl saw that, they got angry because now the very source of their income, if you like, fancy earning money by having a demon-possessed girl manifesting all sorts of different things and people paying to see it. That's all was happening. But when the girl was set free, these men grabbed a hold of Paul and Silas, the Bible says, and dragged them to the magistrates. And when he dragged them to the magistrates, the Bible says that they took them, they beat them with rods, and then they cast them into prison. So we're going to sort of pick up a little bit from these things, okay? So they're cast into prison, and the keeper of the prison was charged to keep them securely. Back in those days, if prisoners escaped, or if prisoners were released without the consent of the leaders, then the prison jailer and his families would be killed. That was just law in those days. And so, we see that she was possessed in verse 16 of Acts 16. And in verse 18, Paul cast out the demon. They were flagged, sent to prison. But the Bible says in verse 25, even though they were beaten, even though they were innocent, even though these things had been done to them, and by the way, the people and the magistrates assumed them to be Jews. But of course we know that Paul was not a Jew. Paul was a Roman. He was a Roman. And it was illegal in those days for Romans to be beaten or treated like a Jew or like a Gentile. You couldn't do that. And when you read the context of the story, you'll see why the prisoners, the magistrates rather, were afraid when they found out that they were not Jews, but actually they were Romans. But they, at midnight, the Bible says at midnight, what were they doing? They were praying and they were singing. When were they doing this? At midnight. A time when everybody else is sleeping, these guys were awake. A time when they said, you know what, let's get rest because we've been beaten, we've been flogged, we're tired, let's go to sleep, let's get some rest. No, they were up singing. The Bible says this, that the rest of the prisoners heard them singing and heard them praying. And then as a result now of them singing and praying, the Bible says that there was an earthquake. The earth shook. And the very foundations of the prison shook. And then some things happened, and I'll put them in order here. The prison doors were open, and the earth was shaken. The prison was shaken, the doors were open, and the chains were loosed. Let me say that again. The prison was shaken, the doors were open, and the chains were loosed. And we ought to get something from... I preached on this before. You know, the prison shaken, the very thing, the very foundation, the very system that seems to be holding you. Hey, folks, it can be shaken with prayer and praise. I'm telling you that there's power in prayer and there's power in praise. And when you begin to activate that, something happens in the realm of the Spirit. Now you've moved the hand of God. What did I say to you earlier? I said to you that the Bible tells us God inhabits the praises of His people. When His people begin to praise Him from a pure heart, from a right place, something begins to happen in the spiritual realm. You know what our problem is? Sometimes we stop too early. Stop too quickly. I'm not talking in a church setting. I'm talking in a home. I'm talking in a private setting. We pray and we stop. So we only get to the outer court. We don't even get to the inner court, let alone the Holy of Holies, because we don't persist or persevere in prayer. And it's the same with praise. We begin to praise, but we stop on that outer court. We don't stop on the inner. We don't stop in the most holy place. And that's where sometimes our difficulties and problems come in. We praise God, but we can only do it for so long. I heard someone say to me some time ago, when you read the Bible, the Bible talks about praise and worship and how God's people are going to be there. And then I had someone say to me one time, it's going to be so boring in heaven because all they're going to be doing is singing and praising God. And I said to myself, how could an individual say such a thing? How could you ever look at, fancy being amongst God's people throughout the whole of the ages and worshiping and praising God and you're calling it boring? You're calling something is wrong in your thinking, pertaining to the kingdom, pertaining to who God is, and pertaining to your heart. Because when you love God, you want to praise Him. Isn't that right? You want to magnify Him. You want to extol Him. You want to lift Him up when you love God. And you can never just say, oh, you're just going to be sitting there and just worry. And it's not just that. Anyway, there's a lot of things that's going to happen, but that's a different story for a different time. So when you begin to praise God, folks, your system, whatever is holding you, will be shaken. And then God will begin to open doors. And then chains, the very chains that hold you, whatever chains they may be, they're broken through praise and through prayer and persistence in Jesus' name. I've got good news for you today. God is still in the business of breaking chains. He's still in the business of opening doors. God is still in the business of shaking foundations that seem to hold you and hold you tight. Because God is the King over all the earth. Didn't we sing that this morning? Sing praises to Him with understanding. Okay? So Paul and Silas spoke the word to the prisoner, to the jailer, because he was going to kill himself. Because when he looked at him, Paul said, no, we're all here. Don't do yourself any harm. And then the Bible says Paul and Silas spoke the word to him. And then the keeper of the prison and his family, well, what they did was they took them home. They washed their stripes. And the jailer and his family was saved. Okay? And the Bible ends by saying in verse 34, the keeper of the prison rejoiced. The keeper of the prison rejoiced. What am I saying here? I'm saying that Paul and Silas, at the midnight hour, they rejoiced. They praised God. Miracles happened. God intervened. These people got saved. And now they praised God. Now they rejoiced. They wouldn't have rejoiced if Paul and Silas wasn't rejoicing. There's something that your praise does that interferes or interacts with others and causes change, Lord, folks. We said that earlier, that the Lord causes change when we praise Him, when we extol Him, and when we lift Him up, irrespective of what is going on. And that's what we need to be today. We need to be a people that are resilient. No matter what is happening, I'm going to praise God. No matter what is happening, I'm going to stand and lift my hands and open my mouth and raise my voice and praise Him and give Him thanks. Because I understand that He will do and has done great and mighty things for me. In Jesus' name. So, the keeper of the prison rejoiced. And that's where I'm going to stop with that story here today. But let me give you some scriptures. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. In other words, in the good times and in the bad times, you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to come into the house of God with a sad countenance, looking deflated and flat and can hardly do anything because of the pressures of life. No, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to lift Him up and I'm going to magnify Him. And that's what you're doing when you do that. But look at verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. I quoted this earlier, Psalm 22, verse 3. There it is on the Bible, on the screen. God inhabits the praises of His people. So when I begin to praise God, I'm drawing the presence of God. When I begin to praise Him, I'm drawing His presence. God inhabits the praises of His people. The Bible describes it like a sweet-smelling savor. When our praises go up, that's coming from a good place, a right place. It's like a sweet-smelling savor, and God is like, you know, sometimes like when you're driving past somewhere and you smell food, and if food smells good, you feel like you want to stop there, and maybe in the past we have, if it's, we're passing a bakery, especially back in Jamaica, because we used to do that a lot. Sometimes I would leave school, go out for lunch, and with the intention of buying something else, but when I walk past a bakery, the bakery just smells, it smells so good, we just go right in the bakery and buy one cut of Anchor butter and half a loaf of bread, and we have that for lunch. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. God inhabits the praises of His people. Okay, so another good reason to praise Him. Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoever offers God glorifies me. Okay, and to him who orders his conduct right, I will show the salvation of God. That's exactly what happened with Jehoshaphat. He placed order in the camp. He placed order in the land. Okay? And the Bible says, to him who orders his conduct right, I will show the salvation of God. If you want God to show His salvation in your life, you've got to make changes to your conduct. You've got to put order in your life. And I've often told you that you've got to have order in your life. Commitment, order, and discipline are prerequisites for the manifestation of anything that God wants to do in your life. Without those three, nothing will happen. You've got to be committed to God's word and His purposes. You've got to have order, and you've got to be a disciplined Christian. Not a loose Christian that just does things haywire when you feel like it, if you don't feel like it. No. You've got to have commitment, you've got to have order, and you've got to have discipline in your life. And the word of God says to him who orders his conduct right, I will show the salvation of God. God will show up in your life. God will show up in your circumstance. God will manifest Himself right there with what you're going through. Isn't that good news? Man, that's good news, man. I'm telling you. All right, so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, in all of your ways we should acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in this situation. I'm stuck. Well, acknowledge Him. Do what His word says. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And he will direct your paths. What is acknowledgement? And by the way, it's coming up, I think, so let me not jump ahead of myself. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Note that word, acknowledge. Acknowledge God. Acknowledgement is the core of praise. Without praise, without it, praise is valueless. Acknowledgement is the core of praise. So when you're praising God, you're acknowledging God. It's not just going into the atmosphere. You're acknowledging him. You're closing your eyes, and you're praising him, but you're seeing him, and you're acknowledging him, and you're praising him, because in your spirit, in your mind's eye, you're seeing him. And when you do that, you are acknowledging him, all right? And that's the core, the very center of praise. And without that acknowledgement, without that, okay, praise is valueless. So if you don't see God in the midst of your praising him, your praise is valueless. You can expect God to intervene when you have taken time to intercede. I'll read that again. You can expect God to intervene when you have taken time to intercede. But have you interceded? Have you taken the time to intercede? To constantly pray, to constantly seek the face of God. That's what Jehoshaphat did. And that's what I believe Paul and Silas was doing. They were acknowledging God right there in prison when it seemed like they were stuck, when it seemed like the system was holding them. God came and broke them and set them free. Persistent, perpetual praise produces power. So it's not a momentary thing. It's something that you do habitually and continuously and deliberately. Persistent, perpetual praise produces power. When you get your life disciplined into such a way that you're praising God and you're praising him and you're thankful and you're rejoicing all the time, you are developing a very good habit, a powerful habit that will just give you now the power that you need to get through whatever it is that you're going through. Success vs. failure. I'll put up there that I would rather try something great for God and fail than to do nothing for him and succeed. And there are a lot of people today that don't do anything for God. And they succeed at it. But I would rather try to do something great for God and fail than to do nothing for him and succeed. God has not called us to be lazy people, to be people that are just doing the bare minimum. If we love God, we don't want to do the minimum. There's something intrinsic inside of us that wants us to do more. We've got to do more for God. We've got to lift him up. We've got to acknowledge him. We've got to praise him. We've got to honor him in our lives. Last screen, and then I'm done. Just want to encourage you this morning to leave with these things, these principles. So what can I get? If I picked up some keys to victory, so let me just give them to you, right? Number one, check your heart. Before you do anything, check your heart. Because if you've got sin there, if you've got anyone up there, if you've got malice there, if you've got whatever there, you need to deal with that. The book of Matthew teaches us, Jesus was teaching actually, and he said that, no, if you've got aught against your brother, leave your gift at the altar, go and make it right. And then come back, take up your gift and give it to God. So even the scriptures are teaching us there, Jesus teaching us right there, that before you give God anything, make sure it is, if it's in your power, make sure you get things right with your brother and your sister. The book of 1 John says, how can you say you love God who you can't see when you're not loving your brother and your sister who you can see? In other words, then, that don't make sense. Get it right. So number one, check your heart. Number two, how's your prayer life? How is your prayer life? How are you in your prayer life? Do you make the time to pray? Or just to pray when it's convenient? Do you have a disciplined time when you come before God and pray in your life? Or do you just squeeze in one or two words whenever you have the time to do it? How is your prayer life? Because you see, praise and prayer work together. And they both got to be fed. They've both got to be utilized. Their muscles, that's got to be used for the whole body to become effective. Number three, commit to word intake, word digestion, and word declaration. Commit to it. If you don't know God's word, then you've got very little power inside of you to do anything. You've got to know God's word. Take it in. Okay? Digest it. That's talking about comprehension right there. Get it into your spirit by muttering and musing the word, playing with it in your mouth, revolving it over and over. Get it into your spirit before you declare it. And then you declare it. All this we've taught in the past before, so you guys should know this. And when we declare it, you can't declare what you don't know. You can't do that. So, commit to these three things. Word intake, word digestion, word declaration. The Bible says, and I've got it up there, Joel chapter 3 verse 10. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. So when it comes to word declaration now, what you're doing is you're calling forth those things that be not, as though they already exist. That's another scripture. Okay? Let the weak say, I am strong. That's not saying tell a lie. It's making a declaration, a bold declaration that even though you are weak, even though you may be tired, let the words come out of your mouth. Declare it now. I am strong in Jesus' name. Come on, shout it out with me. Say I'm strong in Jesus' name.
I'm strong in Jesus.
No, do it again. I'm strong in Jesus' name.
I'm strong in Jesus.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Why? Because God is with you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's the one that's arming you. He's the one that's equipping you. He's the one that's strengthening you. He's the one that's giving you the wisdom and the direction that you need in life to go forward. Number four, direct your gaze to Jesus. Don't look at the problem so much. Just stop steering. That's what Peter did. That's why he began to sink. Peter began to do the miraculous when he stepped out the boat. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the winds and the waves, he began to sink and cried out the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me. Direct your gaze to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Psalm 34, verses 1 to 6, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, as you mind your will and emotions, will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5 says this, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who delivers? Church, are you glad that you serve a God? They serve a God who delivers. He delivers from all of your troubles. But you've got to believe, though. You've got to believe. And you've got to say, yes, Lord, I do believe. And I put my trust in you. Listen, that's what Paul and Silas did. Things weren't going nice for them. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Things weren't going nice for them. Things on the outside looked horrible for both sets of people. Things looked dark, things looked dimmed, things looked difficult. Things looked like it was impossible. When Jehoshaphat was surrounded by the three different nations, it looked like it was an impossible situation. But yet they had victory. Paul and Silas were locked away in the center of the prison, fully secured. It looked like they could not escape. But what did they do? God set them free. But nothing happened until these people praised and prayed. And that brought about the change that God wanted to bring about in their lives and set them free. And I'm saying to you today, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, that the same thing can happen to you. Stop looking at the situation and saying it's impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. If you believe. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we?